Good morning, everyone. Unfortunately, I'm having some technical difficulties today with my video, so I do not have my video turned on. But we want to welcome you to the second disability accommodation meeting. For those of you who attended the first meeting, you may recall that after our collaborative group of CEO Disability Management Division and the CEO Benefits Division named this meeting, we realized that it had an acronym of DAM. So whether this is your first DAM meeting of the day or you've already had a morning full of DAM meetings, we are glad to have you with us today. Just to kind of recap what the intent of these meetings is that we were really looking for a forum to have an opportunity for us to gather in a virtual setting as colleagues to share questions, ask questions, provide ideas to one another, and offer support in a very informal setting. We had hoped that this would be an opportunity to really have conversation and for people to sort of feel like they were connecting. Despite the fact that I'm having technical difficulty today, for those of you who are with us, who are brave enough to turn on your cameras, we think it's a great opportunity for everyone to sort of see one another and feel like you're part of a larger connected community. We'd originally had the idea that we were going to be doing these meetings once a month, but unfortunately, COVID is still around and we're finding that people are in need of assistance more than just once a month. So there was a request to squeeze in this additional meeting so that we could really focus on COVID as it relates to school closure. In addition to requesting the additional meeting, we also were asked if we could record the meeting, which we didn't do last time because there's just so many questions that people have. So this gives you the opportunity to refer back to any information that is shared today and to also pass along to anyone who wasn't able to attend. As usual, we will post that information on the COVID intranet site that we have, and you'll be able to go back and reference it. So we thought that as we're getting started today, we could at least do a little bit of a community icebreaker to, even if you don't want to turn your camera on, if you want to at least be part of a broader discussion. And we were hoping as a start for today that people could put into the chat for everyone, if 2020 were to be a movie, what would you name it? So feel free to start filling up our chat with 2020, what would you name it if it were a movie? And we can all share that information with one another as we kind of also go through some more serious topics. So again, as I said, today's theme for us is COVID is really focusing on COVID school closures. So to avoid being tardy in getting us back to school, I'm going to explain today's format. So first, in order to prepare to ace your COVID school closure tests, Ken and Jess are going to make sure you do just that because they're going to answer all of the questions that you have provided. Then we are very fortunate today to have what I'm calling Courtney's DMEC Cliff Notes. Courtney has been participating in the DMEC conference this month and is coming to us with literally up to the minute as of yesterday, latest information as it relates to this particular topic as offered by DMEC. And then if you still feel like you're not getting enough out of class and you need some extra help and tutoring, Tracy's going to offer you some resources for outside of the classroom that would be helpful to you, hopefully. And then finally, Ken's going to give you a cheat sheet of information associated with VCHRP that applies to these leaves. And then we will open it up, and we're hoping some of you really want to be a teacher's pet, and you will share with us your questions as it relates to COVID leaves. So before we get started, let's see, is there any, Tracy, I know you're manning our chat for us. I like some.
Yeah, we have one suggestion for a movie title, and that is Reality Bites.
Somebody else said no. Oh, Apocalypse Now. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Remote office space.
All right. See, you're getting the hang of it now.
Now we know that chat box works.
Yeah. So we know you're actually there. So that's completely reassuring to us. So, okay. So to stop or my mom will shoot is also a legitimate one for all parents out there. Okay. So to get us off and running on our actual topic, I'm going to turn it over to Ken and Jess and get things started. And Tracy, do you want to post the Q&A so they can see it?
Yes, I'm going to bring that up right now as soon as I find it on my...
And as I indicated, all of our documents for today and the recordings will be available for you on the intranet site as well.
Can you all see it?
Yes.
Yes. That one is the IP.
Oh, sorry. That's the interactive. Yeah. That's interactive process, Tracy, not the Q&A.
It'll take just a second. The questions are up, but it just takes a second.
All right. Keep your movie titles coming while we fill the time. I like Groundhog Day Revisited. Oh, Home Alone's Home another Alone. Good one.
That's a good one.
Sorry.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, also good. Who said 2020 is not fun? Okay, so so we're up on the questions. So Ken and Jess, I'm gonna turn it over to you guys.
Okay, so we're starting from the last one. So we'll start with number 5. If my child is over 14 years old with special circumstances, no childcare, and FMLA is exhausted, what steps should be taken?
The answer is employees should submit an attestation letter that no other caretaker is available, including co-parent, co-guardian, other family members, or the usual childcare provider. Employees should include a statement that special circumstances exist and what those special circumstances are, and submit documentation to support those special circumstances. Employees should submit evidence that the child was enrolled in summer camp or comparable program, which is no longer available due to COVID-19. You will need to engage in the interactive process with the employee, since this will be converted to a personal leave. The employees should be made aware of their responsibility to pay the full cost of their health benefits once they reach an unpaid status, or if they reach an unpaid status. Once the above documentation is received, your agency should consider the employee's request for extension based on the information and documentation received that would ideally support the employee's need for additional time off. Keep in mind, though, that these are personal leaves and they're subject to your agency discretion.
Excellent. Thank you. So question number 6, employees requesting leave for close to 3 months, August to November, to conduct distant learning for their children. The question, are we approving these just like childcare / school closure leaves over the summer?
Well, it depends. Is the employee FMLA eligible? If not, have you engaged in the interactive process?
Follow-up question, can we approve 3 months right off the bat?
Well, it depends. It is suggested that this be determined with business needs in mind and the facts of the case. It is recommended these cases be reviewed regularly and employees are engaged at reoccurring intervals.
Once FMLA is exhausted, these turn to regular personal leaves requiring supervisor / manager approval, correct?
Yes, correct. But you should engage in the interactive process before you make any decision.
Is the school information email enough to certify the leave?
Yes, an email or written statement from the school or childcare provider that Documents the closure or distance learning is sufficient to certify the leave.
All right. Question 7. If department is unable to accommodate the personal leave request FMLA has exhausted for distant learning / daycare closure and the employee declines any reasonable accommodation the department provides, at what point can we begin disciplinary action, if any?
In these unprecedented times, the department is encouraged to be as flexible as possible. However, if you reach a point with substantial documentation and multiple attempts at IPs with different reasonable accommodations, including a full leave, then you would engage labor relations. Also, prior to getting to that point, we have provided resources, CIP for at-home learning, to use as a guide during IPs to assist with exploring reasonable accommodations. Note, if you are already engaging in the interactive process, you should request and receive more documentation to substantiate their case. Letters from the school or daycare. Is family an option for the daycare or distance learning? Why or why not? These are resources out there, but they need to be explored. For example, they may have a need for additional leave due to a family medical leave for their dependents, if they have supporting documentation to back this claim up. In short, letters from the employer would no longer suffice after the FMLA. Entitlement has been exhausted. The interactive process will serve as a layer of information that needs to be requested and evaluated, and what other options they have researched, as the return will be inevitable at some point.
Thank you. Question 8. If an employee is going to have a schedule change as a reasonable accommodation due to not being FMLA eligible, for example, employee is dropping to 32 hours a week versus 40, should an ORG entry be entered into VCHRP prior to the data change to indicate it is COVID related?
Great news. We have created a new reason code in VCHRP to identify schedule changes that are due to a COVID-related reason, i.e. school closure. This new code will be in VCHRP later today on August 20th and can be used for schedule changes that are effective August 9th and beyond. The new action reason code is DTA/SCC, which is short for Data Schedule Change COVID ID.
And Ken, I just want to jump in real quick just to make mention that even though the code is going to be in VCHRP later today, we don't know the exact time. And let me rewind that. The code is already in VCHRP, but it needs to be added to some workflow in the background. So we ask that you please do not use that code until we send something out saying it's good to go.
I want to piggyback that also, Tracy and everyone. This code is more going to be used for set schedules. So someone who, in the example, is going from 40 hours a week to 32 hours, where they have a set schedule. Someone who has an unpredictable or unset schedule would not be a good type for this action reason data change. So we'll go over a little bit more at the end of this presentation when someone has a schedule that is not set and what examples and what options you have for that.
When we have a question, does this mean that these leaves no longer should be counted as intermittent LOAs?
Correct. These would take them off your list in VCHRP for leave of absence. So these are ones, typically when you do an interactive and they've exhausted all entitlements, the proper process would to be reduce their schedule if that's an option. So yes, it would no longer be a leave.
Right. If I can just jump in for a quick second, this would be if they're no longer FMLA eligible. So if it comes down to a point of schedule reduction, then that's the point that Ken is making right now. So they would still be intermittent leave if they are FMLA eligible.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. So question 9, is the 80 hours of EPSL benefits for school/daycare closure reason to be paid at the employee's full rate or pay 2/3 rate of pay subject to the daily and aggregate limits?
So the answer is for school and daycare closures, it will be 2/3 rate of pay subject to the daily and aggregate limits.
Number 10, if the employee is approved for the remaining 40 hours of the county natural disaster pay for school/day closure reasons, are we to apply county natural disaster benefits concurrently with the 80 hours of EPSL benefits for school closures and daycare closure as follows? 40 hours of county natural disaster pay, the employee's full rate of pay runs concurrently with EPSL benefits. 40 hours of remaining EPSL benefits paid at 2/3 employee pay, subject to daily aggregate limits.
So the answer is yes, it runs concurrently. EPSL runs concurrently either for school closure or for a COVID-related illness.
All right, no other questions are in chat.
Okay, great. So thank you, Ken and Jess, for that part. As I said, all of this will be posted on the intranet site, so you can go back and reference it as needed as these issues may come up within your given agency. So Tracy, if you could now go to, we're gonna turn to Courtney's DMEC Cliff Notes. And if you could go to slide number 2 for me in the PowerPoint. There we go.
All right, thank you guys. So this, like Catherine said, this information is straight from DMEC conference. So when the question is, when is an employee eligible for FFCRA leave related to school or place of care closure? And there's 4 reasons here. One is they're not eligible if EE employee can telework. 2, they're not eligible if someone else is available to care for the child. What if both parents are home? One parent could watch the child while the other one works, is the example. 3, they're not eligible if an employee chooses not to send their child to open school or place of care because of generalized fear. 4, they are eligible if the school is held virtually. So there is an IRS rule that if a child is under 14 years of age, employee must certify that there are special circumstances. And then the questions arise, what about hybrid school arrangements, partially virtual, partially on-site? If virtual is mandated, they are eligible for virtual days. If the employee volunteers for virtual but could go on-site, they're probably not eligible. And that is related to local rules. And that's why the answer is probably not. So we want to reconsider if we run into a problem like that. Bring it to our attention and we can move forward.
And I just want to jump in there for 1 second, is that I think you might have said if they're under 14, but if it's the child's
over
14 years of age. Yeah. So if the child is under 14, you do not need to do that. If they're over 14, that's information that you would want to obtain. So correct. In piggybacking off of this slide, Tracy, would you be able to now put up the interactive process questions for us, please?
Yes.
So what we want to encourage in today's forum is the understanding that you all have the right to ask questions about these accommodations. And that's true even if a person has FMLA protection. We always, in trying to determine what is the reasonable accommodation, have the right to explore with the employee things that might make the most reasonable accommodation that works for the business needs of the operation. So we put together this sheet is just some potential questions that you could go over with your employee when you're having these interactive process meetings. By no means are these appropriate in every circumstance. By no means are they comprehensive. But it's just an opportunity to get you sort of started on some talking points. The one thing we would really point to is that we've done a lot of research between our groups into the various school districts and schools within the districts. Every district is running this differently, and many of them are running it differently at the elementary level than they are at maybe the middle school or the high school level, meaning that, you might have some people whose kids are doing virtual learning for 6 hours a day, and some people whose kids are doing virtual learning where they have to be, on camera for 90 minutes a day. And those are the kinds of factors and facts you should be exploring in your interactive process meetings with the employees to start to understand what might be some options. Again, just general questions on this, is it for more than one child? How old are the children? Do they have somebody else who can help them with the support at home? A family member, a friend, a spouse, a neighbor. All of those kinds of things are things you're allowed to ask, and we're encouraging you to absolutely have those conversations with each of your employees to begin to look at these factors. And somebody just asked the question, now it's legal to ask personal questions. The questions you're not asking, do you have a spouse? You're asking, is there someone else? And here's examples of people who it might, we have other people who are using these types of resources. And in this particular instance, I think what's important to remember is these are not accommodations being asked for in relationship to a medical condition. These are accommodations being asked for in relationship to school closure. So it's the types of questions you're asking are very different questions. And we're allowed to understand what the structure is that we can work with that, sure, an employee could decline to give you information, but without the appropriate information, we cannot really come up with the most reasonable accommodation, right? So we're encouraging them to have those discussions with us. It looks like there's one more. Tracy, can you tell me what that one is?
Yes. If we have knowledge of other adult family members living in the home, can we ask the employee about their ability to assist?
Yes. You have the ability to say, you have other people in the house? Are those individuals in your home able to support? So this is the interactive process portion of it is you have a person asking for an accommodation, but not an accommodation based on disability, right? So these are different discussions. This is about accommodation based on limited childcare. So you are allowed to and in fact encouraged to have conversations that help you and the employee identify the best potential options. At the end of the day, if an employee is FMLA eligible, in all likelihood, you have, in those instances, you're likely going to have to approve that FMLA leave if they say, nope, I don't have any of these other things, no other resources, and all that will work for me is full leave of absence right now. Well, they have the FMLA entitlement and you should approve that. But I think what many of you are going to find is that your employees in a lot of instances have already exhausted or nearly exhausted their FMLA entitlements through the end of last school year and over this summer. So, that also changes the discussion. Once you're outside of the FMLA, it's really a discussion trying to help the employee consider and look at resources that you're aware that other employees countywide have come to as ways of working through this. And so that's what the discussion is. So to that point, the And yeah, thank you, Jess. So yes, these are definitely all discussions. These are IP specific for COVID school closure. So that's really our topic for today. And that's what these IP questions are specific to. So within the thing, the IP potential questions that we have, one of the questions is, are you aware of the Facebook page and the internet resource pages that the county has created? So we wanted to make sure that everyone had an opportunity to, once again, if you haven't already seen them, be aware of what that is. So Tracy, I'm going to turn it over to you and give you an opportunity to share those resources so the group is aware of them. Oh, Tracy, are you muted?
Sorry, I've been talking forever.
Sorry, Tracy.
No, that's okay. Okay, so for those of you who are on the call, yeah, for those of you who were on the call last week or 2 weeks ago, you've already seen these resources, but I wanted to bring them up again just for those of you who weren't on the call, and also to show you that we've been posting a lot more on them. This is our Facebook group site. And it has resources. So I've been posting things like mychildcare.ca.gov. It's a website that shows local what's available locally for childcare. You just put in like your zip code and it'll bring that information up. Also, Ventura Unified School District, they have a ton of resources right now to help families with distance learning and all the challenges that come with that. So this link will guide them to those resources. So anyway, we've just, anytime we come up with a resource, we put it on here, but that actually isn't the intent of the site. The intent of the site is for employees to actually come on and share, you know, what, like, if they want to find another employee to share childcare with, like, I'll watch your kids on these days that I'm off, if you can watch my kids on, or you know what I mean. So anyway, we're hoping that employees will come on and do that. They're doing it on the Ventura County K-12 Parent Resources Group. So we're hoping our employees will do that amongst themselves on our site. So if you can, encourage that if they ask about it. And the second resource, can you guys see that I'm on my VC Web now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so right on the My VC Web page, if you scroll down and you see the marketplace tab or what's it called? They call it a like a card or a anyway, you just click on this marketplace button and then it will take you there eventually. A little slow today. Okay. Well, probably hasn't popped up for you guys yet.
We can see it, Tracy.
Oh, good. Okay. So this is the marketplace. You know, there's things like you can sell clothes, books. This is only for county employees. We've had access to this for years. So for those of you that don't know it's there, here it is. So we created this employee child care connection tile on this website. Same things that are getting posted on the Facebook group are getting posted on here. That way, if people don't have Facebook accounts, they can come here and use this resource. So same roles or same intent. It's we're posting resources. We're hoping people come on here, employees, and kind of try to share resources amongst themselves. So yeah, those are just two resources available for our employees that actually we've been talking to other public entities that really liked these ideas and they're going to do them for their own employees. So that was kind of encouraging that we are doing stuff that others maybe are not quite yet doing. All right, and that's it.
So, and there's some feedback in the chat about what we're encouraging or not encouraging, and I want to be really crystal clear about that. I think that you're misinterpreting the intent. So all it is a resource. What people do in terms of childcare for their children, we would never presume to make that decision for a parent or for a family. We are merely giving people resources. So parents all over the county are facing this as a challenge and as a struggle, and this is a support system. So what the right answer is for one family, for one parent, for one child, may not be the right answer for another parent and another child. So again, we're not endorsing what is the appropriate methodology. It is simply an opportunity for people who are struggling to find resource, to have people that they work with, who they can reach out to and have conversation and have the opportunity to, if even maybe just have support. I'm a struggling parent, you're a struggling parent, this is really difficult. How are you managing distance learning? How are you maintaining your mental wellness? What are activities you're doing with your kids that are helping them? So it is merely a resource, and there's no, we are not endorsing anything one way or another as it relates to either of those things. They are simply a resource.
Yeah, and I just want to add, Catherine, that we did have County Council review both of these sites before we released them. There is disclaimer language on both sites. They were fully supportive, and they have been vetted by County Council.
Thanks, Tracy. So would you be able to then go back to Courtney's Cliff Notes and take us to slide number 3?
Perfect. Thank you, Tracy. Oh, there you go. Okay, so this is a very limited documentation from employees that we need. The employee data, we need the name and dates of leave requested, qualifying reason for leave, and statement that employee is unable to work or telework because qualified leave reason, name of government entity and issued quarantine or isolation order, name of the healthcare provider advising employee or individual for whom employee is providing care to self-quarantine, name of school, place of care, or child care provider that is closed or unavailable due to COVID-19, name of child or individual for whom employee is caring, statement that no other person is available to care for the child during period of request to leave. Again, these are just, these are resources for whichever is applicable for the leave that is requested. Also, the documentation needed for tax credit for IRS tax guidance. In addition to the data on the left, you do need to state the age of child. If leave is needed to care for a child over 14 years of age and daylight hours to receive tax credit, employee must sign statement that special circumstances exist.
Courtney?
Yes.
Are these, the employee data side, are these more for FMLA, or can we use them when we're, as far as the interactive process is concerned, or is it for everything?
We can use them for everything.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, the telework, a key to eligibility for leave under FFCRA. Employee is able to telework if employer has work for employee and permits employee to telework. No extenuating circumstances prevent employee from performing work. Department of Labor is relaxing the continuous workday guidance for non-exempt employees. Therefore, if they need to work beyond business hours 8 to 5, if they have approval to work at 6 to 8 to make up 2 hours that they missed for distance learning during the day, they can't do that, and the Department of Labor is relaxing those. those rules. Telework may be performed during normal hours or at any other times agreed by employer and employee. Next slide. School closures and childcare best practices. Ensure you have accurate accounting of employee leaves. Understand that paid sick leave entitlements are different from expanded paid family leave. Track all requests for leave due to school and childcare closures under the correct leave entitlements. Help clarify for employees what they are entitled to and what is counted towards FMLA. And then Catherine, I believe you're gonna explore these ones.
Yes, did we have a couple other questions, Tracy?
Yes, we actually have a ton of questions that have come in. And so I'm wondering if we should, I don't know if we should wait till the end. I mean, there's been questions the entire hour or, you know, since we started. So I'm wondering, what do you guys feel like doing? Waiting till the end or no?
I didn't know if they were relative to this particular slide. I think somebody did ask one that says, can we still accept the link of the school website stating the school is closed and will be providing distance learning? And the answer to that is yes.
Yeah. And then you can also gather the same information from slide 3 if you need more specific information as far as the age of the child and so forth.
So the next slide is really looking at, this idea of local schools that are planning to reopen using a hybrid approach or virtual versus in-person. And in the cliff notes that Courtney put together for us here, they actually really addressed at the DMEC a scenario where their scenario is Kelly used all her FMLA and other available leaves prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. She now needs time to care for her children during virtual learning days. What leaves, paid and unpaid, are available to due to school closure? And Tracy, could you go to the next slide, please?
Yes.
So what we thought was really helpful about this particular slide is I think this is a great little cheat sheet for you in relationship to kind of looking at the different things. Are you talking about an employee who has COVID-19? Are you looking at school days and daycare closure? Is the employee quarantined, et cetera? So in relationship to sort of the scenario, you're looking at, okay, well, in that scenario, it's a school daycare closed. And then you would go through the things. Is that employee entitled to the new expanded FMLA? In the example that they gave us, she was not. Is she entitled to federal emergency sick leave? You go through all of the things to kind of check off the boxes to figure out what they are entitled to and what they are not entitled to. So hopefully this is a quick and easy reference guide for you all as you get sort of the school closure part of it. And you also sometimes have this, you know, unfortunately there's overlap. Sometimes you have a quarantine issue and you have, you might also have kids who are at home because of school closure, et cetera. So it gets very complicated. And we thought this was a quick and easy sheet for you guys to reference in order to help you kind of try to drill down to what the employee might actually be entitled to. Tracy, any questions you think specific to those slides at the moment before we can always circle back to the others towards the end?
I don't see any other school-related questions that have come in recently, but I'll go through the chat and try to pull stuff out that hasn't been answered.
Terrific. Great. All right. Well, so next, Ken's going to give you another cheat sheet for VCHRP that might help to make these leaves a little bit easier for you to ensure are properly coded.
So earlier when we did the question and answers, question number 8 spoke to someone who was going from 40 hours to 32 hours per week, more on a set schedule. So in when I drafted this action reason code list for VCHRP, most of it applied, most leaves were prevalent that we saw were FMLA. So everyone was using FMLA for whatever reason. I also had to create kind of a catch-all, which is item number or letter number E on this list, which includes personal leaves of absence for all other reasons, including employees who are self-quarantine or symptomatic and without a medical note, employees working intermittently for cycle on, cycle off, an employee who does not qualify for FMLA. This category really wasn't used at all because everyone was fitting into FMLA, but as we see that everyone is exhausting FMLA, this particular section is becoming more prevalent now. So what its intent is to use it for those who perhaps don't have a set schedule. So subject to your agency's personal leave discretion and policies, if they do qualify, this is probably the category that will best fit them. Someone who's working off and on, no set schedule, as opposed to someone who has a set schedule and a set routine, you would do the data schedule change. So this applies again for those who don't fit that that model.
Are there questions specific to the coding?
I don't see anything. No, I do not see any questions about the code. Oh, here's one. Is there an intermittent leave code for personal, not FMLA?
That's where this comes in. This would also fall under that. Even though we don't do personal intermittent leaves, this is where it fits into that schedule. But no, per se, there is not. This is where you would have to put them.
I don't see any other questions on that.
Okay, great. So that's our, so for today, that's the resource information that we have for you guys. We did want to share with you just some sort of examples of things that we've heard from agencies that I think are worth thinking about. Again, every accommodation is going to be based on the specific facts associated with your agency, your business needs, the facts facing that particular employee, you know, their whatever the distance learning is, the school district they're in, all of those things are going to be case by case, and those are going to be determinations you're going to make. But we have heard that there are employees, some of whom are asking for sort of a set amount of time each day, as little as an hour each day, just to be able to either take time off at the start of the day or at the end of the day to assist their children or their child with their schoolwork as they need it. We've heard of other employees who are asking for one day a week where they just need one whole day that, and again, you know, sometimes on the surface when you hear these things, sometimes it doesn't always make sense, but I am aware there's districts that right now have 4 days a week of actual distance learning classes, and then there's a fifth day out of the week where that's an opportunity for the children to have time with the teacher to do sort of like office hours and complete assignments. That might be a day where the parent feels like they provide more value in being there on the day where the child's trying to complete a variety of things and wrap up what they've learned for the week. I think Courtney touched on the idea that, you know, we have employees who are asking to break up their work day and do, you know, 2 hours, maybe from 5 to 7 in the morning, and then they need, you know, from 7 to 10 to do distance learning with their kids, and then another couple hours in the afternoon where they're able to work, and maybe another couple hours at the end of the day. All of those things are certainly options to consider and have discussions about. whether they are appropriate for this employee within your agency for the job that they perform, that will be fact specific. But it gives you sort of a flavor of there's all different versions of this. And I think as we process through it, we certainly need to be willing to have those conversations and engage our employees in trying to think of as many creative and flexible ways that we can address these things.
Right. It was also, I spoke with an agency earlier this week, and they accommodated an employee by taking a longer lunch. They have an hour lunch every day, and they asked to take a 2-hour lunch just to ensure every day that their kids are turning in what they need to turn in each day. And that was fine by the department. They approved it. So that's also a suggestion. All they do is come in 30 minutes earlier and leave 30 minutes later, and they make up that hour. So if that's something your agency or departments can accommodate, that's also suggested. Again, we're all in this together. So whatever works for some people may not work for others, but somebody might be able to take it.
And Tracy, it looks like maybe we have a couple more in the chat.
Yeah, we have a lot if I scroll back up to the top. So I guess we'll work our way backwards. So the first question is, I believe the first slide to the PowerPoint mentioned the employee is not eligible if they telework. Can you please clarify? I'm not sure what they're referring to.
So they're not eligible for FFCRA if the employee can accommodate. So if the employer can accommodate telework and they say we can accommodate telework and the employee refuses, they are not eligible for FFCRA.
Thank you, Courtney. Next question. If an employee provides a positive COVID test and is able to telework, but then requests to take 3.5 days off after teleworking for a few days because of symptoms appearing, do we need a formal FEHC doctor cert for those 3.5 days, or can we simply use their positive test as reason for the employee to quarantine and not telework?
So I guess I can go ahead and answer this question. So if they are COVID-19 positive, then they will need to provide doctor certification. I know in this time during COVID, we weren't specific on the actual FEHC. It could be any doctor's document. You can use their positive test and certify that as a reason for the employee to quarantine.
Thank you. All right. So let me get back to where there were some unanswered questions. There was one from, let's see, Anthony asked way back where. So there's a question, is the new VCHRP, it says ADA code, but it's not an ADA code. It's just a schedule change code that we're using for COVID-related reduced schedules. And he's saying, can they use it for other ADA reasons as well? Ken, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is only for COVID-related reduced schedules, right?
Okay. Strictly for COVID.
All right. And another question. If an employee does not have a consistent schedule and has also exhausted FMLA, would this be a personal intermittent, assuming it is approved by the agency?
That's correct. It would be, we don't have personal intermittent leaves, but this is the only category that's going to come close. So this is where it fits in, subject to your department's or agency's approval and discretion.
Okay, and we have a person who's fairly new and they're not sure where exactly to get the forms. I believe this is when we were talking about when we were on the slides. It says, can we get a link? So maybe if that person can say what forms exactly they're referring to, we can guide you.
Yeah, on that one, it's for a new employee, and I'll be discussing some links and some other resources with her later on today.
Great, thank you, Jess. Okay, and then we have another question. How does the new VC4P code for personal leave for childcare impact flex credit, excuse me, if the hours fall below 30, 25, or 20 per week?
It doesn't affect their flex credit because they're been approved for a personal quasi intermittent leave. Their flex credits are protected.
Wait, if it's just a schedule change and they're no longer eligible for FMLA.
So if it's handled through a data schedule change as referenced in question number 8, then they would be subject to flex credit reduction if appropriate.
Right. Oh, okay. I thought he was referring to the new VCHRP code for the schedule changes, which is yes, if they fall below the 60 hours in a bi week, they will have their flex credit reduced or ended if they fall below the 20 per.
For the data schedule, that would be correct.
Okay. Okay, so they're asking that the question and answer examples and the slideshow be provided, and we do that. So after these meetings, anything that we show, we put on our COVID site, on the benefits site. So if you're not familiar with that, it is on our benefits website. There's a COVID tile toward the bottom, I would say, that you can click on, and all the resources that we've shared will be on there.
And I would say that that's a, for anyone who's on this who hasn't visited that particular site, there is so much great information, truly from the very start. Oh, thank you. I see Monica posted the link to it. Thank you, Monica. There's so much good stuff there. When you find yourself in these situations, it's I think, an invaluable source of information. So definitely, if you haven't checked it out, I encourage you to do that.
Also, if I add in that if we are doing accommodations for the school closures, we want to make sure that the information is entered into Presagia under an accommodation, because we are needing to track all of the accommodations related to COVID.
And that's a good point, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Courtney. I think it's really important to know that we've done a lot of research in the past 2 weeks since you all asked for this sort of specific topic matter. It is consistent across the board in all employment law resources that we're looking at, EEOC, DFVH, everybody is saying the same thing. You need to be documenting these as accommodations. You should be handling them as if, you know, you would any accommodation, engaging the employee, dealing with those things. And I would certainly suggest to you all that, again, and I think we've talked about this in some of our other meetings, these are really fast changing times. So would I, certainly county best practice is not to go more than 90 days on certification. I think in these particular instances, you know, you can certainly go 30 days if there's a fact pattern that suggests that maybe there's things the employee could still be exploring or looking to that might allow for some additional sort of flex to the accommodation. So these should be really ongoing, active conversations that we're having with the employees. I would also say that Chuck Pode, who's on the call, was good enough to send out an email. There's a risk management group that he has oversight of, risk managers all over California. And when we checked with them, other counties are handling this. This recommendation to manage these in this way, to document those things in Presagia, to continue to evaluate these things at very regular intervals, is right in line with what we're getting as feedback from all other counties, including LA County, which is, of course, you know, the biggie. So we are doing what is recommended, and this aligns with what's happening in counties throughout California.
Thank you, Catherine. One more question did come in. Do we anticipate getting a different payroll code to differentiate the FFCRA pay rates? For example, we are having to go back retroactively to adjust pay for employees who are taking natural disaster pay full rate of pay. EPSL, either two-thirds for childcare or full rate up to 511 for COVID symptoms or illness. We don't control the payroll code, so I don't know if they're going to be, I would think if they were going to do different payroll codes, they would have done them a long time ago, like in the beginning of this. So I don't anticipate that we'll be getting different payroll codes, which means that the natural disaster, the NDISH and NDIS payroll codes should be used for any COVID-related pay, whether it's FFCRA pays or the natural disaster pay. It's all one code. So we do have to split these up and report on W-2s. We recently got that guidance from the IRS. So we are going to use Presagia, the different reasons for the leave to determine what buckets they fall into. But I don't anticipate getting different payroll codes. If we hear anything different, we'll let you know.
If there's an ability to put any footnotes in the when using those two codes, the NDISH and NDISH, and I forget what the other one is. If you're using any of those codes, though, I think there's an ability to put footnotes at the end where you might want to document what that represents. So if you have to go back to it, you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
All right. I don't see any other questions coming in.
Hey. So if anyone didn't give us your movie title for 2020, this is your chance to share with the group before we do wrap it up. And if anyone has any other questions that pop into your heads, feel free to throw them out there in this final couple minutes. But we just want to say we know these remain unprecedented times and that all of you have been tested in many different ways, and that this start of a new school year where all of the children in our county are faced with this distance learning, and our employees are trying to juggle that on top of everything else. We know it's one of the biggest tests yet. We believe you guys are going to pass with flying colors, and if we have anything to say with it, we're going to put you on the COVID-19 leave of absence honor roll. We want you to know, though, in the meantime, we're here to help and support as best as we can. It's unprecedented. It's unprecedented times for us as well. But when you guys have questions and need support, we're trying to get you the answers you need. So the more you can communicate with us, the better. I do. That's anyone. I love the reference to logging on to the school district Canvas. I feel your pain there 100%.
Yeah. I'd like to share a huge takeaway that we all got from the DMEC conference is it's okay to not be okay. And that's kind of a hard pill to swallow, even for like myself. And I really felt that. So it's okay to not be okay. We're all in this together, and that's why we're all here, to be resourceful to each other during these times.
We do have some funny new movies. Hopefully this is a good one. Don't Stand By Me. Forget About It. That would be nice. There was another one, Jess, you had a really good one. What was it? Oh, Honey, I'm Schooling the Kids. That's cute. All right.
Great ideas, you guys. Well, I think we've used up our time for today. I would only say, as we close for today, if there's something specific you want us to be focusing on at our next DAM meeting, and you want to quick throw it in the chat, that gives us food for thought. Otherwise, as always, we welcome your questions and suggestions in the meantime. Our next meeting then would be the first Thursday of September, which I think is the 3rd. So that's, another 2 weeks away. So keep your suggestions and your thoughts coming. And otherwise, I think for today, hopefully you guys found this helpful, and we hope you stay well, stay safe, and we will see you again in 2 weeks.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Oh, shoot, I forgot to stop the recording. Darn it.